Hi, hello everybody, and welcome again to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour. That's right, it's Monday. You know what that means? It means it's time for another happy hour, off the wall, something ragtag, super special Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 60. I mean, we're on the slow climb to episode 140 to go. What do you say? This one titled Beast Mode. I'm Loganity Morris, or whatever's left of him, and I thank you for spending part of your Monday evening or wherever you listen to this. I thank you for spending it with me. Luckily, I'm not doing it alone this evening. I have quite the cast and characters. Let's bring a few in. This week, we're going to be gentlemanly about it. How about ladies first? We're going to bring in my better half, the best-looking individual on this dais. No offense to the other folks on it, but she's just got you beat. My favorite beautiful pair of blue eyes in the world, and Ryan Blaney's biggest fan. Let's bring her in. Producer Peggy, come on in here.
Ryan Blaney almost got it done.
Almost.
Still think he's going to win it all.
Well, yeah. He's got a shot at Martinsville. He does have a shot at Martinsville, I promise. He does.
He won Martinsville last
week. Exactly. And so, don't give up hope yet. Don't be, oh ye of little faith, Peter. Don't do that. Don't be one of those, you know, it'll never happen sort of people. Anything can happen in NASCAR. Anything can happen to all of motorsports. But how are you? You good?
I am wonderful.
Wonderful. Hear that, folks? She's wonderful. It's because she deals with me. And let's bring in a few other members of the dais. First, I'm going to start with the man that needs no introduction. Matter of fact, he introducted this whole thing. He is the founder. He is a man. He's John Force's right-hand man, as far as I'm concerned. And, well, he's live from a new studio, 1396. Let's bring him in. AJ England, come on in here, buddy.
Yeah, back to the mic where it all began, talking engines, tracks, and the smell of burnt rubber, man. From drag strips to circuits, we'll cover it all. Revving up stories, let's have a ball. So buckle up tight, and let's relive the past with AJ on the mic. The fun's here to last. Cheers.
What is that beverage you have there?
Well, it's a high-quality Monster Energy, whatever flavor you want.
What's your favorite Monster Energy flavor? We'll bring our next guest.
Well, I'll tell you, it's whatever one's in my left hand or my right, but really, they're all the best. They're out of sight. But the real thing is, when you get the greens and the pinks, Oh, man.
Greens and the pinks.
They're great.
Greens and the pinks.
High quality.
What an evening. Darren says, Tyler Reddick, baby. And then
that's right. Monster Energy, our teammate, Tyler Reddick, won that big old cup race. And I'll tell you what else. He beat the peak performance car for Ryan Blaney in second place. And so I just think that's great. Our partners were everywhere, you know.
And I'll be damned, he's Kyle Turner. And he says, what the hell is this? Kyle says Zero Sugar Purple is his personal favorite.
Also one of my favorites, Kyle.
Darren and Kyle, hit that subscribe button for us if you'd be so kind. That's what the founder would say. I'm not being very kind to our next guest, so let me bring him in here. Let me come on now, folks. Let's not hog up all the air. I'd like to bring in one Jason Beckman. He is the son of Funny Car Great, and you know Jack pretty well, AJ England. Jason, thanks for joining us. I know you're an ARCA pit crew member. Tell us a little bit about what you do, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Well, what I do is a lot of staring at the car while the other people touch it. I'm still in the process of learning kind of all there is about the NASCAR realm here, because I was raised up around cars going in a straight line. Mm-hmm. AJ, I really hope like you rehearsed that and you didn't just do it on the fly, because if you did it on the fly, that was kind of scary. Yeah, but we just finished up a weekend at Kern County Raceway. It was my first time at the track. Beautiful facility. You know, my good buddy Tim Huddleston owns that place, and it's really dramatic banking. Back stretch is higher elevation than the front stretch, and day went pretty well for us. Nothing to complain about. We had two cars out there with the number 9 of Kyle Keller, who usually races for his own team, but he came on with us for Kern, and he'll be with us for Phoenix on the 8th of next month. And then number 71 of Rip Michaels. Rip usually takes the crew chief duties of the team, but with our usual driver, Nick Janitis, having some health problems at the moment, Rip stepped up, taking the wheel. He hasn't actually done much racing in the past decade, but certainly hasn't slowed him down. We qualified 2nd and finished the day in 8th.
Well, thank you for coming on. We hope you have a ton of fun here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. And, well, it's a guarantee you're going to have fun. The question is just how much. It could be very little, could be a lot, but you'll have some sort of fun, promise.
Well, I'm already enjoying it.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. We have you fooled. Anywho, what do you say? What do you say? The four of us. What do you say? The four of us. Well, Producer Peggy, I know you'll pop in and out. You got things to do back there. What do you say? The four of us, kind of ish, talk a little racing.
I mean, I can't think of a better thing to do on any night of the week.
Absolutely. So why don't we start it out and talk a little NASCAR? Let's talk a little weekend review. Oh yeah, love a good graphic. And just like that, she's disappeared in the shadows. But I promise you, she's around, folks. I promise you, she's around. Tyler Reddick, Darren already helped us with it. Tyler Reddick got it done this weekend. Homestead, home on the range, if you will. 23-11 might be battling in the court, but they're also battling in on the track. See what I did there, AJ? we here at Race and Refresh don't have any dog in the fight. It's just a good pun. Tyler Reddick got it done. He, of course, had a dominant weekend. Qualified first. He was easily the best car of the weekend, in my estimation. Freddie Bannister tuning in. Freddie, we appreciate your fine words and your loyal viewership. He's a Canadian, and you're bringing the only Canadian flavor we have this week, because the lazy boss is on vacation. Hi, Adam, if you're watching. All right, Tyler Reddick got it done. And so Jason, I'll start with you. What an incredible performance. But I want to start talking about the fact of, what kind of story would this be if Tyler Reddick wins this championship under the, let's say, the shadow of this lawsuit? I mean, and do you think he can get it done?
Well, I hate to say it's an underdog story, because 23-11's been blazing fast all year. But, you know, in the situation they're in right now, things aren't exactly going their way off the track. But this would be killer for them if they could get this done. And I don't know, might give them some bargaining power. If they have a championship under their belt. But yeah, AJ and I were at the Ontario rain game last night. So I tuned in on my phone for the last 10 laps of the race. I didn't really keep up with it too much over the weekend. But from what I saw, that was one of the coolest finishes all year, save for, you know, 3 wide at Atlanta.
You're good, brother. Believe me, I am a montage, and just BSing my way through. Just BS with me will be fine. Chris Swope tuning in, our old high school friend. Chris, how are you, brother? Pleasure. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you're well. Love you. And those habanero peppers back in high school kicked my keister. I just want you to know that. Darren says, Reddick will be your 2024 NASCAR Cup Series champion. I'm calling it now. Can you imagine if they have a court hearing? I'm not trying to make light of the situation, AJ. But they just hoist in the Bill France Cup that, you know, right to the courthouse. What kind of a story would it be if Tyler Reddick can win this championship? Because let's paint the picture, shall we? Let's go Bob Ross. Michael Jordan is co-owner of that team. Denny Hamlin is co-owner of that team. So if he gets it done, if he wins this championship, how big of a story is it?
Well, I mean, it's a huge. you know, first of all, it's great for his partners such as Monster Energy. And, you know, they'll go real far with that. It carries on. Of course, you know, Monster is not new to winning championships. Brittany's done it twice in the NHRA, and they expect their drivers to win. You know, they're one of those sponsors where they're not there to entertain a couple of corporate guests at a racetrack. They're there to put on a great show, entertain, and win races and championships. And so from a marketing standpoint, nothing shy of expected. From a performance standpoint, it'd be a little surprising. You know, Tyler Reddick did not dominate this race, despite leading the most laps. His presence at the front was spread out, multiple segments, rather than sustaining the lead throughout. He only led for 98 out of 267 laps. Yeah, it's a significant portion. We're talking about, you know, 60% being controlled by the other drivers, though. So I think for us to consider that he's one of the championship favors should only be calculated to the fact that we know he's in that final four. As far as anything dominant, this race didn't sell that for me. In the last 70 laps, there was six leaders. So, yeah, he got it done. His team has the momentum with Joey Logano. There's those two extra spots. But overall, I wouldn't say I'm calculating him as a favorite.
Look, I like your take, AJ, and that's rare for you and I. Chris, appreciate you, brother. I do. I love you dearly. Hope you're well. Keep tuning in. Don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be a stranger now. I'm not eating any more habaneros with you. It's fine. Tyler did have a rocket on Sunday, Freddie. Look, I actually agree with you, AJ. My championship favorite as it stands right now is Christopher Bell. He seems to be the most consistent driver week in, week out. I know that he's kind of overshadowed by his Hall of Fame teammates, the retiring Martin Truex Jr., and, of course, Denny Hamlin, who tries to beat your favorite driver. But I feel like he has taken the step to really claim the Gibbs torch, if you will, this year. I mean, if you look at those, just look at his average finish in the last 10 races or so. I think the lowest he has is like a 15th at Watkins Glen. And so he's just incredible consistency. Incredible consistency at all types of tracks. Because think about it, we run so many different types of tracks. Obviously, it comes down to the 1 miler at Phoenix. I really personally believe that he is your favorite. I that's just my take. Matt Maher says the last two championships, the winner won at Martinsville, so I'm not picking a favorite until we see who's locked in after next week. Well, all right, Matt, good for you for not jumping the gun there. Don't have your hoister out any place. I like it. You're just wanting to keep it close. I like close to the vest. Jason, I'm putting everybody on the spot here, so I'm going to do it to you. Do you have a championship favorite at this point in the season? Or are you waiting on Martinsville like everybody else?
Well, I mean, last year, my guy was Christopher Bell. Funny thing, one of the iRacing series I race in, David Bell's a pretty consistent watcher, and he keeps DMing me after I do good in those races. So I was a little biased, and he was doing well up until that, what was it, brake rotor failure?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, out of pure bias alone, I'd say Bell.
All right. Well, he's an honest man. We'll take it. Bell won it in 20. Yeah, that's a good point, Freddie. Look, I think Christopher Bell is the championship favorite, but your momentum is a fickle mistress. We all know that. Absolutely. I'm not sitting here denying that at all. Maybe Ryan Blaney wins at Martinsville like he did last year and shakes this whole thing up. Because, again, momentum, fickle. So we'll see what happens there. As it stands, of course, Logano and Reddick are locked in. Christopher Bell looking pretty good at plus 29. William Byron just plus 7. Kyle Larson minus 7. Denny Hamlin minus 18. Ryan Blaney minus 38. Not quite a must win, but pretty close. And Chase Elliott minus my favorite number on planet Earth, 43. So pretty interesting place. When you listen to those standings, gentlemen, I'll start with you on this, AJ. How do you feel about it? Who do you think rounds out the final four?
Well, I think the final four are, you know, it's going to – so we have two set. Let's start there. We have Joey Logano, Tyler Reddick. We mentioned them before. But you know, the real dominant effort this season is being overlooked. It's six wins, 1,600 laps led by Kyle Larson. He's had a dominant season, by far the most of anyone in the top eight. His aggressive driving styles led to many wins, but fewer top tens maybe compared to the other drivers. But despite that, five poles show strong performance, average finish 13.5. It could have been better, but his ability to win outright makes him the top contender. He's one of only a few drivers as the past champion. And of course, he drives a HendrickCars.com Chevrolet. I think that if you're going to make me pick one, that's the one to go with.
Oh, have I told you lately that I love you? Jason, who do you think rounds out the Final Four? As we've mentioned, Joey Logano locked in there with that good piece of hair, and Tyler Reddick as well. So who's your last two?
Well, I got to say, Bell's pretty good on those short tracks. I don't see him falling back 30 points. You know, kind of a toss-up between those three on the bubble there, Larson, Hamlin, and Blaney. I can see any of them having a strong performance. And, you know, with Martinsville, there's any amount of unpredictability to that. If we're going off of patterns, I say it might be locked in as it is right now with Byron in that final spot. You know, Byron's been pretty good at Martinsville. I know he didn't he win there earlier this year, and then another one. What was it last year?
I believe so. Yes.
So those Hendrick cars are pretty consistent there, Byron especially. And I think that's a plausible Final Four with the way the points are standing right now.
I think you've got a good shot. I agree. I think Bell's pretty much locked in. It would take a lot of hokey pokey to put him out to pasture. You know, the big question is going to be, does someone like Ryan Blaney sneak up and win one, right? I mean, you know, the unique thing about NASCAR is during the playoffs, nobody actually goes home, so anybody could. But I'm talking about out of the playoffs drivers. Can Ryan Blaney or someone like that, could Chase Elliott, who's won at Martinsville? I mean, let's not forget that. It's been a little while, but, I mean, it's not like he hasn't gotten it done. It's paperclip. Could Chase Elliott surprise us and, you know, kind of hit the walk-off homer, if you will? So I think that's the biggest question. I'm going to say that Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson get in. I don't personally see it for a one Dennis Hamlin. I know yet again. So we'll see what happens, but that's just my thought. That's just my thought. We'll see. I know I don't want all the pitchfork Denny Hamlin lovers to come at me, but I just don't see it for him this year yet again. Nothing like being the old bridesmaid. All right, let's move to Xfinity here. Austin Hill got it done, and kind of surprising. I'm not going to lie to you on that because usually when you think Austin Hill, nothing against his driving talent. We know he's one of the top-tier names in the Xfinity series as we speak. But when you think of Austin Hill, you think Super Speedway, and that's not what Homestead is. All right, that's not the, you know, in a 305, it's a mile and a half. It's not your classic Super Speedway. Were you surprised, Jason, to see that Austin Hill got it done here?
You know what? When I checked Twitter and saw those race results, I'm decently surprised. I mean, I know RCR always has some rockets in Xfinity, and you know, I've made my fair share of poking fun towards Austin Hill for his, you know, super speedway merchantism there. I was really hoping to see.
So we're leaving right there. I like it.
I was hoping to see Cole Custer, you know, lock his ticket in there. I'm a diehard Stewart Haas fanboy. You know, Tony's one of my sponsors. So, again, some bias there. But, you know, I can't say Austin Hill winning was that big of a surprise for me. RCR might not be the greatest in Cup at the moment, but at Xfinity, they've always been quick.
Oh yeah, Pop is he knows how to field an Xfinity group. Now let me talk to you, Jason. Do you think Austin Hill is the championship favorite as we speak? If not, who?
I don't see it. You know, Austin Hill at anything less than a mile, I frankly see his competitors having an edge over him there. You know, who we got here? We got Dinger, Allgaier, and Custer up over that bump spot at the moment. And it's really anybody's game with Hill being the only one locked in, I believe, so far. Yeah, so I was rooting for Cole last year. Obviously, it turned out the way I wanted it to. So I've gotta stick with my Stewart Haas group here, especially in our dying days. But, you know, I can see Junior Motorsports making a run for it.
He's thinking that Cole Custer and SHR might fall on the sword, going dying a warrior's death. We'll see what happens. Mr. Appeal, I got to tell you, I think my favorite I think my favorite right now is a guy that you've been high on for as long as you and I have known each other. One AJ Allmendinger.
Yeah. Well, very briefly, I want to say, you know, I agree, you know, Austin Hill has a successful tenure of performance on the super speedways, but when he won at Daytona this year, it was a nearly all green flag. He was able to keep it with an average speed about 182. So he was able to do something. Usually his past wins on the plate tracks have been attrition. He just survives the wrecks, and he did that one through speed and dominance. That being said, four wins this year, only one on a plate track. I think he's learned that variety. Now on to the dinger, AJ Ringer. He has, first of all, he has the best name in all of motorsports. There's the great one. There's AJ Foyt. There's the mediocre one. That's AJ Allmendinger. And there's the badass AJ England. Now, the thing is, you want to make sure that you get a driver who can win on any kind of track. And their season's going to end, you know, it's going to end in Phoenix, which is, I've been very vocal about, probably not my favorite thing. But AJ Allmendinger, he is up there. He's kind of like Justin Allgaier. You know, he's had a little bit of weather up in the Cup Series. He gets kicked down a little bit. He comes back up. But what bothers me about the Dinger's hopes this year, in the last three seasons, he won 12 races. So far this year, only one. You know, it was on a road course again, which we love. But the fact that he can't seem to perform on the ovals, and I'd have to research, but I know he hasn't won many short track races. Phoenix, regarding your setup, your suspension, and your down aero package, I'm not expecting that this is his year in Phoenix. Getting into the finale, I feel the same way. You know, what's this cutoff race looking like? It's not one where him or Colic seems to shine.
We shall see what happens. And yes, AJ Allmendinger going back to the Cup Series full time next year, even.
That's right.
So he's bouncing back, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna get more of the Dinger and more of that perfectly coiffed hair real soon on Sundays. It is perfectly coiffed. I mean, let's be honest. Aren't we all a little jealous of his hair game, huh?
We just got to be careful when you say coiffed on the radio. It sounds like other things sometimes. So you just want to be smart.
Absolutely. You know, you don't want to make any mistakes here to put the old foot in the mouth.
I will put a monster can in my mouth.
Well, go right ahead. Yeah, love a good drink break there. Thanks to the fine folks that aren't paying us, but they are helping you. So God bless them.
Flavor packed vegetables for dinner tonight. What about you guys?
I got some chicken breast sitting down there in the kitchen right now. Nice.
Love it.
Soon as the show's over, it's getting it. We're getting after it.
Yeah.
We're getting after it. Well, that's an interesting comment there from our main man, Darren. God love you, sir. Thanks for tuning in. In the trucks, the Craftsman Truck Series, Grant Infinger, one of the nicest gentlemen on the planet as far as I'm concerned, got it done. However, unfortunately, this race was completely overshadowed by Matt Mills and the incident between him and Connor Jones. Matt Mills, the driver of the number 42 for Nice Motorsports, was transported to a nearby hospital after an incident with Connor in Saturday's truck race. Jones was parked two laps during the race. Unfortunately, we got to talk about it. Well, we mean a nice Monster Energy drink, Matt. I don't know what you may be referring to. You salty dog, you. AJ, talk to me. I know you have very strong opinions on incidents like this. Yeah. Talk to me about your feelings on this incident, and then we'll go to Jason.
Well, first of all, you know, I just want to be strategic like the great farmers that plant the NK seeds. And I want to make sure that we're letting everybody know how great everybody is. And the one guy that was great this weekend was Grant. And he gave everybody the end finger. He said, listen, I'm going to drive this car and I'm going to do it well. And he won. And he's been really chasing that championship his entire career. And, you know, he ages like a fine wine. Now, whether it's a wine-dipped cigar or a bottle of your finest from Italy, I don't know which, but some kind of wine he's aging like. We can't take away from the fact that this young man has had just the hardest career, and he's lost his job, but then suddenly back the next week, he's never missed a whole season, and he's got speed. So keep an eye on him. As far as the conflict between, you know, old Jubilee and Mr. Mill, The thing is, NASCAR, they ask for this. And I'll be damned if a year from now they don't play this moment on the highlight reel previewing, you know, the event. I think it's really unfortunate that NASCAR has pursued and pushed aggressive driving the way they have. And then for them to kind of gaslight the fans into feeling like this was wrong. This wasn't a hook in the right rear. This wasn't done under yellow. This was an insulting, inappropriate form of contact. But nothing out of the ordinary. It's just very unfortunate that we have a driver that's injured. But in general, I can genuinely say I didn't think that the action itself warrants the response of negativity. I think it was a fair yet inappropriate hit, and one that he's been trained by NASCAR in their marketing to do.
Okay. Matt Moore says, thankfully, Mills was released and on his way home today from the hospital. Connor Jones needs to be humbled and wouldn't be surprised if there's retaliation in Martinsville. Well, we've seen retaliation in Martinsville before. Matt Kenseth and Joey Logano, I'm talking to you. Jason, let me ask you, did you get a chance to look at this incident? What are your thoughts on it? Obviously, it's one that gets, you know, the Twitterverse up in arms. Give me your take.
I saw it on social media, and, you know, I share a couple of Discord servers with Connor Jones. I think he's, what, 18, 19, young fellow like me. In the sim races that I've done with him, he isn't exactly known as the cleanest. I will say that. I'm not gonna slander anybody, though. We are on the air. But something like that, there's a lot of gray area. I mean, NASCAR does, like AJ said, they do promote, you know, the aggression, the wrecks. That's all part of their program. And, you know, also I do see, you know, the act of retaliating like that as immature in a way. It can go either way. He bumped him into the corner. I'm sure he didn't want him to hit the wall that hard. Move him out of the way, maybe. But... you know, consequences of your actions, that's something you see more as you, you know, get more laps in and mature in the series. So I hope that he eventually gains a little more, you know, foresight on that. But I can see either argument as to, you know, pointing fingers at people for that incident.
I'll tell you, Jason, we got to get you in government, my friend. That was a nice diplomatic answer. You're looking at all sides there. That was good stuff. Adam Carabine, show creator, says, "Greetings from sunny California. Miss you guys. Have a good show. Miss you too, buddy. I hope those Rays are treating you well. Hope those Rays are treating you well."
I thought he went to Montana.
Like Montana brand, huh? Yeah,
that's right. That's where I thought he had gone. I didn't know he was here in California. Hi, Adam.
Yeah, you guys are, maybe you can catch dinner after the show here. I mean, why not?
You know, you're the only person not in California right now. Well, we're all out here in good day Columbus, and you're out there in Midwest.
Well, nothing against our fine friends to the west at all, but that makes me the luckiest man of the dais tonight.
Oh, you're lucky you don't have to deal with this Irvine traffic.
Yeah, that's exactly right there, sitting there in gridlock. God, that's good stuff.
I've experienced plenty of that.
What are you doing, staring at brake lights? Really, I just got home. Yeah, that's wild. Well, it's going to be about 2 more hours for me. Yup, I won. I'll take the Midwest cold. All righty. West Coast, Best Coast, says Adam Carabine. You're not even a citizen of this country, you Canadian.
Don't you know about it, eh?
Don't you know?
Yeah, go Maple Leafs.
I like this guy. Jason, put her there. Let's go. Yes, sir. Matt Moore says that's nonsense. Well, have you seen the show, Matt? That's what we do.
West Coast of Canada. Sorry, go Canucks.
I like him. I hope he'll come back. All righty. So where the hell were we? A lot has happened. Matt Marr says, screw the leaves. I, for one, like fall, sir. All right.
He's talking about the maple leaves.
I myself am not much of a Toronto fan. I went to a Ducks game last year, and they beat us in overtime, I believe.
I like those changing of the fall scenery colors. Racing Refresh presents Hockey Talk. Yes, look, we're always looking for new hot con. That's the way it is. New hot con at Racing Refresh. Right. Always coming. Always coming. All right. So, given where we're at time-wise, as we throw our cross flags in the air, what do you say we do some happy hour headlines? All right, some interesting news this week. NASCAR officials awarded Bobby Allison with his 85th Cup victory for winning Bowman Gray in 1971. Now, this was not an official race at the time. There was a bunch of different makes, models, and bodies. For the record, for all of us that are concerned, the King's record is not harmed by this. The victory was just never awarded to Allison. He did win the race. The King finished second and complained about it heavily. What do you think? I'm going to come to you first on this one, Jason. What do you think about them? I don't know, kind of. Yes, he won the race, and that's and credit to him. But how do you feel about them kind of revising the history so long after the fact?
I'm not too well versed on this one. I you know, read about it briefly from the post that they did put out about it, and it was a weird deal. You know, racing back then was weird. Their records are all screwy, you know, like that inaugural race at Talladega that everyone keeps arguing about. But I mean, nothing you can really do to argue with the sanctioning body. I think it's pretty unorthodox that they're going back there, you know, when we're up here in the 2020s. I didn't really feel that that was an issue that needed any resolution to it. But I guess NASCAR did.
My, you know, Mike Hilton, Jim France, always thinking at the forefront of what could help this sport. So let's talk about it. It breaks a tie with DW, who sits at 84. They both did until this resolution. Jimmy Johnson sits at 83, for what it's worth. So that's kind of in that same ballpark. AJ, you have taught me so much of the history of NASCAR, and frankly, you've forgotten more than I'll probably ever know. So I was very curious, and I'm so glad that you had the chance to come be on the show for this week, because I'm very curious, what's your take on this? Them kind of, and I'm not saying this with any negative connotation, but they are revising history decades after the fact. What's your take?
Well, first of all, I know the podcast video show audience, and I'm well informed to NASCAR's demographics. Nobody that cared about this race or had ever heard of it is watching your show tonight. This was such an obsolete, unusual thing. It's kind of baloney. I did a little bit of research, and this decision, in hindsight, does feel long overdue. It's a correction to a NASCAR historical record. Bobby Allison and Darrell Waltrip, they've had a little bit of a rivalry as to who has 85 wins. They both felt they did for two different reasons. And so at least for right now, they, you know, there's that tiebreaker. I would be willing to bet NASCAR awards Darrell Waltrip his 85th and gives them both the tie in the all times list. But yeah, it's iconic. But what the truth is, I'd like to think I know a thing or two about marketing. This is to promote the Bowman Gray event next year. That is all this is about. And good on him, because it's probably going to work.
It's like farmer's insurance. You know a thing or two because you've seen a thing or two. No, you're right. Most people of our ilk have no idea. I got several text messages from a couple of buddies we know, AJ, that were like, does this mean that Richard has 199? How you doing? I'm like, no, that's not what that means. Believe me, it's the first thing I check. Yeah. And so that was the biggest concern I got from kind of the newer fans of the sport. I'm talking about the Ryan Hills of the world. So, yeah, just kind of interesting, but it is history, and so it does break that tie for now. We'll see if that lives on. Matt, I don't know about Canadians on a hockey show portion. It's only an hour show, and frankly, I like to talk, and I'm selfish. So, but God love you, Matt. Thanks for tuning in, you beautiful individual. You. Speaking of beautiful individuals and beautiful things, Dale Jr. is reuniting with Budweiser in late model stock races. I mean, oh, cue up the night we met. I mean, this is just gorgeous. AJ, you were, matter of fact, you showed me the infamous commercial that Budweiser made for Dale when he retired from full-time competition. Give us your take on this one. What do you think? Budweiser and Dale Jr. back together again.
Well, the intersection of motorsports and corporate sponsorship is a unique landscape. The fusion of brands and drivers transcends the traditional boundaries of endorsements. Unlike other sports or celebrity partnerships, racing teams rely heavily on their corporate partners, not only for financial backing, but for identity. These sponsorships are more than just logos on cars. They're an integral fabric to the sport, and the expense that comes with running a professional race team is astronomical. The support of a corporation can be the difference between a driver competing for championships or fading into obscurity. There was a time not so long ago when a business could offer a significant sum of money in exchange for billboard-sized logos plastered all over a race car. These deals often sealed for a full season or even multiple years. They were straightforward exchanges. Visibility was cash. But as the sport evolved, so did the nature of these partnerships. The best example was one Budweiser and Dale Earnhardt Jr. In the 2000s, they were inseparable. Budweiser's number 8 red Chevrolet, driven by Earnhardt, became synonymous with the brand, transcended mere sponsorship to become part of the driver and the company's identity. The company invested tens of millions of dollars, and in return, they didn't just get billboards on wheels. They got a brand ambassador, a spokesperson, and an enduring cultural icon that resonated with NASCAR's fervent fan base. Even years after their official partnership ended, a tribute commercial, as you mentioned, celebrated Earnhardt's career, and it reignited that connection as if time had not passed. And now in 2024, time hasn't. Fans who once drank Budweiser because Dale did can now do it as a moment of nostalgia. I thought it was the greatest throwback in all of history. And when you throw it to yourself, it means you've lived a long, great career. Kudos to them. Kudos to Anheuser-Busch, who is on a firm line of desperately trying to win the Southern Motorsports marketing client, the race fan, back after some political fun a few years ago. This is an emotional investment that fans and media alike should love.
Couldn't have said it better. Could not have said it better, my friend. Jason, I know you're a young buck, but what do you think of this? Does it conjure up any emotion for you?
Well, I mean, I'm an 07 baby. All that Bud stuff was, you know, well before I got into NASCAR.
You're like Amp Energy, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, you know, my first ever diecast, I think I got it back there in one of my cases. It's a little 164th of Junior in his 07 National Guard car, I believe. But, yeah, still that era of NASCAR, looking back on those races, it feels nostalgic for me, even though I wasn't there for it. I'm not old enough to physically remember, you know, Junior in that Bud car. I'm not old enough to, you know, support his sponsor yet. But I got to say that red, that number 8, I absolutely love it back. And like AJ was saying, these brand identities with drivers are, well, my favorite thing. You know, you can't have Tony without Home Depot. You can't have Jimmy without Lowe's. Can't have Jeff without DuPont. And nowadays, I think a lot of that's missing, especially from Cup. You know, you see guys with their sponsors, and I'm absolutely, you know, happy that people are putting money into the sport, but they're getting a new sponsor every week, different paint schemes, and the season-long sponsors are few and far between now. When you do get one, it's absolutely fantastic to be able to attach yourself to a color, to a, you know, logo, like John Force Racing with Peak. That partnership, absolutely love it. You know, can't go to an NHRA race without seeing that beautiful bright blue machine, that X on the side, and that that mountain, the Peak logo. And you know, they're coming into trucks too. They got that win with Zane Smith at Bristol. Love that. Small little plug there, but yeah. Coming back to the conversation at hand here, I you know, feel nostalgic for that butt number eight, even though, you know, that was something that I shouldn't feel nostalgic for, really, but still do.
That's all right, my friend. I have a website for you, NASCARClassics.com. You can go ahead and check out many of those great Dale Jr. in the eight moments. No, absolutely. I agree with both of you tenfold. I think you both hit the nail on the head. I think that as long as you, even though, say you didn't see it, Jason, and I was pretty young when Dale Jr. was running the red, so to speak. It goes back to what AJ was talking about, that there's just something with Dale Jr., Budweiser, and that brand identity that you just it's bigger than it transcends the sport. It transcends what we should know. And so to see them back together, very, very incredible, very nostalgic, and just downright damn cool. I mean, honestly, I wish I could give you some magical, mystical answer that summed it up perfectly, but that's AJ's job. And so, yeah, just really, really cool. Really, really cool. My hope is that they have a wonderful success, and it would be great to see him get a dub or two. Some more unfortunate news, though. Brett Holmes Racing is shutting down and will not return in 2025. If I'm not mistaken, they're shutting down immediately even. And so from a positive nostalgia story to, unfortunately, and this is not to make light, but unfortunately another team has kind of bit the dust in NASCAR, and that happens far too frequently. AJ, you got thoughts on this one?
Yeah, Racing Refresh considered, Jason, I say that, you know, because I was with this group such a long time. Believe me, I'm not the voice of this brand. But they were friends, and I believe are, of Brett and his family for a number of years. His brother-in-law is a contributor to Racing Refresh, Matt Nicholson. And so it's unfortunate on a personal note. I've not met Brett. I don't want to overstate it. But we always rooted for him. And they put such heart and talent and, effort into that program. So in hindsight, nothing is forever. You know, our days in racing will all come and go. And the one great thing they'll have is a underdog championship in that ARCA series. He really proved his talent a couple of times in there. So Closure underscores financial and logistic hurdles. He's going to have to sign a major domestic beer, you know, to get the right kind of reaction. Little high five to Dale Jr., but I hate that for Brett and his family. And hopefully whatever's next for them is great.
No doubt. We're wishing them the best. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, it's just an unfortunate fact of life in the racing game. There's just it takes a lot to survive. It takes a lot to survive, and it's a dog eat dog sport. And I'm not talking about just NASCAR in this case. I'm talking about motorsports as a whole. It's a fight. It's a war. And so, our best wishes to everybody that is unfortunately losing their jobs right now. I don't know, Jason. You got any thoughts on that?
You know, I love the small teams. That's the stuff that I live for in racing. I've gotten the chance to work with Chris King in the NHRA. He's a guy working out of his own pocket, and getting to hang around them, help them out at the races, seeing the atmosphere around such tight-knit groups like that gives me a real appreciation for these underdog operations. And you hate to see it when one of them, you know, can't find the funding to keep going. You know, less competition in this sport, you know, people who have dedicated their lives to something like this, not really having an opportunity to pursue it in the way that they thought anymore. And it's, I've no other word to describe it than unfortunate, really.
Yeah, it is. It's just heartbreaking just as a human. To kind of lose the dream. Ryan Hill, how are you? I know it's not quite the high that Vegas was, but you're still doing all right. Your guys locked into the Final Four. Good to see you, Ryan. You ugly individual, you. No, I'm playing. Good to see you, Ryan. All right. You know, Frankie Muniz is going to race full-time with the Ringo brothers. So guess what that means? They are the boss of him now in 2025. See what I did there? interesting. Frankie Muniz getting a full-time opportunity. Very cool. Good for the sport. Obviously, he's marketable. Obviously, his passion for it is incredible. But obviously, the Rio brothers, not the highest funded team in the world, right? They're the little guy we're talking about. And so Jason, you started talking about the small guy, the small team. What do you think of this? Frankie Muniz, Malcolm in the Middle, teaming up with the Ream brothers in 2025.
Well, I think it's awesome that he's, you know, kind of working his way up the ladder. Obviously, he's already a public figure. He's got money. So it's not as hard for him as it would be for someone starting out at the short track level. But I really respect the way that he's doing this. You know, he's not paying his way into a Joe Gibbs part-time Xfinity ride. He's taking the stepping stones there. And I got to watch him race at Irwindale Speedway with High Point Racing and the Pro Late models. You know, those were owned by my buddy Tim Huddleston. And I've gotten to drive a couple of those cars too. So, you know, kind of cool to get to see this huge figure beating and banging with everybody else who has a 9-to-5 at your short track. And I know he's getting funding from Ford Performance. I don't know what other sponsors he's got on board next year, but I wish the best for him, really. And if this turns into a multi-year career for him, and if he can find his way up into Xfinity or even a couple Cup starts, that'd be awesome.
No question about it. I do. I think that the higher he goes, the betterment for the sport. And like you said, he's a public figure. And that just gets – that would get more – that's going to get more coverage for the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series or wherever he may race in the future. All right, and then finally, the last headline of the week, Chandler Smith uncertain about 2025 plans. And I got to tell you, I don't like this. I think Chandler Smith has done enough to earn an Xfinity Series ride. I don't know if he's Cup ready. You know, it would have to take the right circumstance, right opportunity, all those sort of things. But I don't like – it's another case, and he even alluded to it. The only rides that are available are going to take a lot of big money funding, and he ain't got it. And so I got to tell you, I don't like this. Jason, are you surprised that Chandler Smith doesn't have a spot lined up by now? Do you think he deserves one?
Absolutely. I mean, to me, watching him race, I always saw him as one of the guys who was, you know, a favorite, if not to win, to at least get a top five or top 10. And it's the unfortunate reality of motorsports, especially nowadays. It's all about the money. And, you know, it's the harsh reality, and it's something that everybody's having to deal with. And it's an unfortunate circumstance that a lot of those rides are being taken up by people who, just bring lots of cash and not necessarily that drive that a lot of the, smaller guys bring.
Yeah, I couldn't put it any better. That's just, I mean, it is. It's an unfortunate reality we're currently living in. AJ, before we move on, do you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, never heard ever.
All right, cool. Fantastic.
No, you know, this young man's living his career, and he's won two races this year, and he's won several previous in the Craftsman Truck Series. Sorry, I got a little excited because of Marcus Lemonis and his longtime support of the NHRA. But, no, I think that it's unfortunate, but he's not marketable. He wants to be, and so many young men and women do. But when you're still looking at Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, you know, they're going to dominate every single rating, win, lose, or draw. And when Kyle Busch, who is very easily one of the greatest racers that ever lived, is struggling to find sponsors, Chandler Smith and those guys are going to also. So believe me, if I'm in his shoes, I hate that for him. But you asked me analytically what I think of it, and I think it's pretty straightforward.
That's fair. All right, with that, look, we're getting close to bringing her home, if you will. So that means it's time for a weekend preview. All right, yeah, that's right. We like being in that nice little neon deal right there. It's like we're in Lightning McQueen's trailer. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. All right, and NASCAR, all three series are in Martinsville. Obviously, this is the penultimate race of the season. This is, we're starting to get down to the nitty-gritty for all three series. It's always nice to have them all lined up. One of the most annoying things about the playoffs, folks, is the fact that it takes until now to have them all lined up. Oh, so-and-so's got 10 races. So-and-so's got 4 races. It's a lot to keep up with. Can't we just line them up? This is ridiculous. All right, I had to get that ran out. But I'm glad that they're finally lined up. We're going to have picks in just a moment. But, AJ, I want to ask you, you know, when you think of the paperclip, what do you think defines it?
Well, I think that endurance, longevity, tough, great motors and race cars. The things that define this racetrack, better or worse, are not relevant to the race car that is on track right now. And so I think that it's going to come down to which large team is able to qualify the best. I think it's that simple at this track. I think that when you put a spec car with a sequential six-speed or five-speed gearbox, your racing product is a little bit magoo. And I think that they should either drop Martinsville off the schedule or fix the car.
Magoo. That might be the word of the year. Magoo. That's good stuff right there. That's good, good stuff. All right. So in F1, they are in Brazil. And look, I got to chat about it with you gentlemen here, especially somebody wearing the peak hat. The NHRA is in beautiful Viva Las Vegas. That's right. That bright light city going to save your soul and set it on fire. Jason, I don't mean to overstep my bounds, but could we get a small update on your father? How's he doing?
Oh, well, he just walked in here a couple minutes ago and asked if I could turn up the volume, and I told him no. I got my headphones on right now. He's doing great. Whatever was, happening to him out in, I forgot what that race was. It's hard to keep track of the schedule here. Past. He's looking forward to this race. I have his dad, my grandpa, is going to be out there, and that's pretty rare, so it's going to be cool for him. I'm going to drive out there Friday and hoping to have a good time. And, if he can't take the Wally home, hopefully it's Austin.
Well, and Austin Proc has been doing a lot of that. AJ, obviously you are the most biased individual on this particular topic. But how does it feel at John Forge Racing to know that you pretty much have got as an organization, the Funny Car Championship lock, stock, and barrel, bring her on home. We'll just see who's going to win it.
Yeah, thanks for your interest. Right now, we're more focused on burning rubber than burning up the rumor mill.
I got you. He's so good at that PR business, ain't he?
Hold on. I got another one.
Go ahead.
Thanks for checking in. We're currently wrestling with horsepower.
I like it.
One more.
Is that your voicemail?
If you hear any announcements, it's probably just our engines gossiping.
Well, I got to tell you, Jack Beckman had his engine gossiping in Indianapolis, and I'm a rookie at drag racing, as you know, and I was a fool and didn't cover my mouth when he was letting that thing fly, and I nearly passed out and died. I'm not going to lie to you. I nearly passed out and died, but there is one thing I got to ask you about, Mr. England. Your boss man is going to make a return to the track and support his team. I know there's only so much you can say, but what's the excitement level like that he's going to be at the track and looking over things? What's the process there as far as the excitement goes for AFR and the boys?
Yeah, we appreciate the curiosity. Right now, we're decoding the secret to speed. And when we crack that code, the rest will follow. But for right now, the engines are whispering and we're listening.
All right. Well, that's all right.
Actually, there was less reporter in you. And I won't offer much, but I will tell you, John's well aware of the feedback that people have shown their love and their interest in his recovery, and all of his family has obviously made their opinions known that it's very warmly appreciated. Yes. So anybody that cares about John's situation, he's doing very well. Hopefully you saw our video, and all is well. We're excited to have him at the track.
We're looking forward to seeing him back in his element, which means good luck trying to keep track of him, AJ, because you just never know what that guy's going to do. Wild guy he is. So maybe he'll lose his shoes again. You know, in Bristol, he did a presser with just the socks on. All right. So obviously, I'm talking to two gentlemen that are a little bit biased here. But other than, say, your father and your drivers, AJ, who sticks out to you in Las Vegas?
Yeah, Dallas Glenn all the way, Pro Stock Chevrolet Camaro. I think he's got it. I think if he can't make it, any number of other teams, especially Greg Anderson and his HendrickCars.com team, they can win a great race in their Chevy. Of course, who could get rid of Columbus, Ohio's own Jake Coughlin Jr.? You know, he's got a great situation happening. And, you know, I think that in the pro stock category, which is specifically what you'd asked me about, I think that the Chevys are going to have a great ending, like they've had a great season all year. In the funny car class, this is special. I'll tell a short story from the origins of Racing Refresh. You know, it was Crystal Clay, your chief motorsports correspondent, who covered the first in-person event for Racing Refresh. She told me she's got credentials from one of the other automakers, and they were going to bring her in and be a special guest. And she met Ron Capps and John Force very intimately that day. They both were able to give her some great time, and she'll be out there this week, so I'm looking forward to seeing her. I think it's going to be a really very competitive couple of race weekends. You know, there's a lot of hearsay as far as how the championship will go in our funny car class, but the racing, don't expect anyone to win these races. It's just as competitive as ever. And in those top fuel pilots, they're going to have a fun race. It's our goal to get Monster and HendrickCars.com and all of them into it. But whoever wins, it's going to be a great nail biter. I promise you that.
Looking forward to providing coverage at RacingRefresh.com. To keep yourself tuned to the website and our YouTube channel this weekend. Going to be a great, great weekend of racing out in the land of Wayne Newton and Elvis Presley. So, all right, with that, look, it's we're getting close to nitty-gritty. That means it's time for a little Racing Refresh picks. Oh, yeah, I like it. I like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot. All right, so, Producer Peggy, would you come on back in here? Producer Peggy, talk to me now. Oh, look at it. She's just gorgeous, folks. I outkicked my coverage, didn't I? So, can you give us a score update on how we're doing?
Yes. So, last week, Adam won. He actually picked Tyler Reddick. You finished second with your pick of Ryan Blaney. And I took... I don't remember who I took, but I lost.
Fantastic. Oh!
Now, wait a minute. Where are my picks?
We don't keep track for you. You left.
I've been on the show this year.
Well, how the hell could we keep track of what you've picked? And half the time you don't pick. You just plug your sponsors, and I'm not mad at that. I'm just saying what happens. Wow. All right. So with that, with some guests, look, here's what we're going to do. Jason, we're going to start with you. You know, just give me who if you had to pick, who do you think gets it done in victory lane this weekend, sir?
I think the safest bet is going to be that number 24, that Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet of William Byron. He's done it before. He's done it this year, and you know, he's proven to be a contender every single race.
Willie B in the big hat. I like that. We'll see what happens, but I'm gonna we'll keep in mind. Mr. AJ England, who's your pick? And we'll keep track of this one because it might be the first one you've given all year.
Well, it's not. And if you guys did proper production show notes before an event, you would know that. Without a doubt, I'm going to Las Vegas on Thursday, so I'm going to gamble. Joey Gase is my pick. I mean, sure, most people are betting around the usual suspects, but where's the thrill in that? Vegas is all about rolling the dice. And I'm all in on Gase. He's got a 39 starting average, but he's going to get it done.
All right. If that happens, grab a lead vest where it's going nuke. All right. Producer Peggy.
I'm going to take... Have I taken Ryan Blaney yet?
Yes.
I will take Martin Truex.
All right, Martin Truex, old MTJ, in one of the final two full-time races of his career. And to close it out, I believe I will take one Kyle Larson. And so I think he's going to have a strong weekend in that Hendrick at HendrickCars.com Chevrolet. That's right. There it is. There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Adam gave me his pick of Christopher Bell.
All right, old C Bell, old baby face himself. I think it's a good pick. Anywho, look, with every great episode, that means we must come to an end so we get on to the next great episode. And that means it's time for, you'll remember this one, AJ, closing time. Jason Beckman, you beautiful blue-eyed young man. It's been just an absolutely it's been absolutely a pleasure to have you, sir. And so, what are your final words? This is where you can say pretty much whatever you want, plug your stuff, and I gotta ask, will you be back?
You know, I gotta say, I do enjoy this. You know, chatting about racing. I feel like I'd love to come back if you guys will have me. And
anytime.
What the one thing I gotta say, the shameless plug, go follow Beckman Designs on Instagram and Twitter. You know, check out my website. I got commissions open. If anybody needs social media graphics, logos, vehicle wraps, anything in the simulator, I'm your guy.
All right, by God, be sure to do it. You know, go follow him. He deserves it. I mean, look at him. He's a handsome young man. You gotta make it happen. Handsome, talented, good to go. All right, producer Peggy, final words.
My final words are that Joey Gase is not on the entry list this week.
Makes the odds even greater. If I win, I'm going home a billionaire.
Here's the thing about old AJ England. He's a man who prepares like nobody else. All right. Anywho, look, I just appreciate so much you two gentlemen coming on. It's been an absolute blast. I hope everybody enjoys this great weekend of racing, whether that's NHRA, whether that's F1, and whether that's NASCAR. Let's enjoy motorsports. We're coming to the end of another year, believe it or not. And at any time you're on, Mr. England, I can't take it home. So can you give us our final words and then take it home for us, buddy?
Yeah, you bet. So here's the thing. I want you all to sit back, breathe once, twice, three times, in through your nose, out through your mouth, count to 100, whatever you got to do to get yourself calm and ready. All right? The book of Matthew in the Bible says, don't worry. Put your trust and your faith in God, and great things like that are wonderful. And sometimes we need reminders. So what I want you to do is be kind to yourself and be kind to others. Smile, be happy, and until then, the rest will take care of itself. Or to our friends in the South, sea amable consigo mismo, sea amable con otros, sonríe, sé feliz hasta entonces. Cuídese. Take care.